Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. This is the August 14th program that we're having here tonight, and everything is working well here on Blog Talk Radio. And Facebook is still kind of, it's still kind of struggling to come up a little bit, but it's kind of like, you know, the computer kind of not, there it is. It seems to be working, going there live there on Facebook. So, yeah. So welcome everybody tonight. Tonight, again, we're going to be doing part two of the workshop content. We basically did part one last week, and again, you know, the program will be recorded again this week. And also, again, just to let you know, that's about a 10 to 12 part series, so this will go on over a number of months, but we didn't have anything specific or new to bring in here this week, so that's why we're going to go ahead and do part two here tonight. But with that, Blanca, how are you doing this fine evening there in Atlanta, Georgia?
Doing great, Dave. Thanks for asking. We had a productive day. I told you we had a Florida rain where at about 6 o'clock, all of a sudden it was sunny, and then the next thing we heard thunder. It rained for about 12 minutes, and then it disappeared, and the sun was out again. So that was our rain for today.
All righty. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're getting at that time of the year, we get these massive thunderstorms. You know, in the afternoon, right around between, you know, 2 and 3 o'clock. And I mean, it's thunder and lightning and massive downpours where it almost creates flooding. It goes on for about an hour and then it just moves on. And then you get down here closer, you know, to then around 5 or 6 o'clock, it starts to clear up again. And then you get up in the morning, it's all blue skies. The afternoon is all thunderstorms. That's kind of what the weather is like there. So, yes. Okay.
Well, nice.
So,
it
folks,
it, says
that everything is working
so
better. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You said something.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just said at least it cooled it off a little bit once it rained, so that was nice.
Yeah. Okay. So now, folks, on the program, well, Blanca, anything else that you'd want to share with us here tonight?
Oh, no, that's, no, fine. I think we're kind of, there's a delay or something, so we're kind of jumping on each other, so I apologize.
Well, yeah, and that's understandable. But folks, what we're going to do tonight is, I said, we're going to have, you know, the part two of the workshop content will be shared in the program tonight. But before we do that, Robert Dunlap is going to come on. Now, he's not going to be here live. And originally, I was going to have him on Skype, but that didn't work out for where he was. So he'll be coming in on the radio. And he'll be coming in, I think he said, around 9:15. So that's in about another, 10 minutes he'll be joining us. So, Blanca, you and I got to fill time for about another 10 minutes. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we've got plenty to talk about. Well, I know the last time you talked, things were pretty calm in the currency exchange. You had a chance to meet with some people that gave you some, at least some insight that things are for real. And so I don't know if you had anything else to share or just is things still status quo.
Well, yes, I did mention that last week Robert and I had a meeting with some pretty high level, a pretty very, very high level gentleman. I think that's the best way I can say that. We're going to be continuing having meetings with him and his associates. I think it's best for me to not go into much more detail other than that, these are the individuals that are there right at the very top. These are the individuals that M&M had referred us to as basically the ones that were the decision makers, you know, for part of the project funding. These were the individuals that their team has direct contact with some of the dragon families in Asia. So it's just nice to know that we're going to be able to have meetings with them. And that's about all I'm able to say right now because I need to protect the confidentiality of the meetings that we have with them. But
right.
That's very, 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 very good news is what it is. And they're on this, when it comes to the currency exchange, they're on the same page that we are, that everything is done, everything is ready to go. They're just waiting for the decision makers at the very, very top to kind of, if you want to say, press the button. That's what it is. And yes, it's coming from the world leaders at the very top, and they are not leaking anything. So it's called blackout lips are zipped, they aren't saying a thing about the timing because they do not want it to leak out before it happens. They will make the announcements and then boom, it's going to go. That's how it's been told and explained to us, and the folks that I met with them, they understood it the same way, and these are the people that have those contacts at the very top. So there's consistency in those reports, is that yes, stuff is moving. I did get, I had a phone call this week with another individual who has some very, very strong contacts with funders at the very top, and they did say that the first level of the paymasters have received money in their accounts. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us at our level, but it just means that they did move it from the banks into the paymasters' accounts, but the paymasters are still on hold like everybody else. So that's what's happening, really, in the currency exchange information. So, yeah. And we're just waiting. And we have absolutely no idea how long that waiting game is going to go on, because this isn't, and I've said this many, many times, but yet still some of you are emailing me and say, why isn't this happening? I said, folks, we need to understand this is not about you and me, the everyday folks at our level. We're at the very, very bottom of the totem pole of this whole thing happening, and we're just getting to be the beneficiaries of what's taking place at the very top level. The kind of money that they're talking about releasing here impacts global finances and global politics. So this is a political, international country decision first and foremost. And so they look at it from that level. And when that gets to move, then it filters on down to us. So don't ask me why. I mean, I had an email come in today that says, why can't you tell the Dragon families to release the money? We're so desperate and we need it. Well, then why did you put yourself in that situation? I want to be very frank and honest. Folks, this is not about us. So please understand that. We're at the very bottom of the totem pole. They're not going to make, the people at the very top are not going to release funds because you basically ran out of money and you need it as an individual. That's not in their decision making, is the best way to say it. So that's about all I want to say on that. But, you know, Blanca, if you want to add any more comments on that. So.
Well, just having been getting your updates, when you say that everything's ready, we're just waiting for the correct timing, and this is a global event. And so I can imagine the amount of coordination that has to occur. And one little thing that's not going to be the right thing, I can see, can put a halt in it. I do sympathize with the folks who are maybe getting a little impatient, and we all are. We're a human. Because many people, unfortunately, do have some difficult situations they want to address, and other people are antsy because they want to get started on their projects. So for whatever reason, all of us want it to happen now, but like you say, it's not really about us. What I would suggest, based on some of the things that you've talked about before, is that the energy of appreciation, the energy of confidence that it's going to come through, the energy of how beautifully you're going to use this money, and how wisely and how happy others are going to be when you get your funds and you start doing all the wonderful things. I think maybe if we were to spend more time on those sort of thoughts and those sort of emotions, that it could actually help, and at least we'd feel better as we're waiting for this to actually get initiated. So that's what I'm encouraging folks to meditate on.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, is because, see, the longer that goes on, then people start questioning, is this really for real? Folks, please remember, I have made 4 trips to Hong Kong. I have met with the Dragon families. I have 3 different very, very high-level individuals that have met with them as well. They know who they are. And I have always, always, always said, wherever you are in any of this, if you're turning in any of your currency, know who your buyer is. Know who your buyer is. Who's coming up with the billions, if not over $1 trillion, to pay everybody that's underneath them in this situation? Who has that kind of money? And everything I am receiving from my sources, what it's sad is there's a lot of people who have turned in currencies to brokers. They can't tell you who their buyer is. And I can tell you right now, they're probably not going to get anything. again, when I was with those folks, they reiterated, you know, what we said. If you are not under a buyer who has been approved by U.S. Treasury, there's a 90 to 95% probability you're not getting paid. You're not getting anything. Because Treasury controls how much money gets to move, how much money gets to be released out into the public. And Treasury has not authorized all of these different brokers and buyers that are out there, because then it's way too much money that gets released out into the public, out into the global economy, and it blows up the global economy. And, you know, I've had some of you emailing me and say, can I get my ZIM back because I've got another opportunity, I've got another contact. I said, well, do you know who your buyer is? Because everything I am being told is ZIM is done. There's no buyers for ZIM out there anymore. If they're saying that they're buying it, they're most likely just what is called flipping it. They're going to try to take it and then flip it and try to find a buyer. I've had brokers who have basically have had thousands of people underneath them, and they never had legitimate buyers. Never had legitimate buyers, and they had thousands of people underneath them. You got to have a legitimate buyer at the end of the day, and I wouldn't touch anything. I wouldn't put any money into anything if I didn't know that who the legitimate buyer is. And with my the DOM that has come in through me and the ZIM that has come in through me, I know who the legitimate buyers are or were. Okay, that's the best way to say it. I know who those buyers are, and I know where they got their money, and I know how they came about that money, and I know where the bank's accounts are and where they have that. And so when you're turning stuff in, if they can't even halfway answer those questions, I wouldn't touch it. I just wouldn't touch it, because there's a high probability you're going to lose your money is what it is. So, okay. Because I'm just amazed at the people out there that think, you know, they got stuff. So, okay. Now, hold on. I've had some text messages coming here I want to take a look at. Let's see. Okay, so we're still waiting on that. Okay, all right, thank you for being a little patient with me there. Robert should be calling in, and it's just basically within a couple minutes. I'm watching my Blog Talk radio screen over here for his number to pop up. So, yeah, anything else you'd like to – oh, I just want to say again, thank you very much, you know, for everybody that was in Santa Ana over the weekend for another wonderful workshop. We had an absolutely wonderful time there. Folks, we still have – plenty of room for the workshop in 2 weeks from Saturday. That'll be in Chicago. And then 3 weeks after that, we're going to be in Australia. Okay. I'm still working on the details now for the cruise that we want to go on there in the first weekend in November. So those details will be coming out fairly soon on the cruise that will be there. But just plan on the fact that the cruise is going to cost you total amount in the range of maybe around $400 to $450. It'll be basically 4 nights that will be on the ship. And remember, that includes everything. That includes 4 nights lodging, 3 meals a day, and drinks and snacks 24 hours a day. We will be basically leaving out of Miami. We'll be making a stop in Key West and another stop in Cozumel, Mexico. And they basically, what we do is that they leave on Thursday afternoon and we get back on really early on Monday morning is what it is. Because it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. And so it's basically, you know, Thursday to Monday. But then, you know, the ship's arriving back in port at about 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday. So you still have Monday all day for your travel arrangements. But that's the specifics around the cruise that are there that we're going to be looking at in the first week of November. So, yeah. Anything else you'd like to share with us, Blanca?
No, but the cruise is something to look forward to. That should be loads of fun.
Well, it'd be a fun time for all of us to be together. It's just, you know, being able to go out there and have a lot of us of like-minded people together.
Right.
You know, Michael Lee Hill will be with us on the cruise as of now.
Oh,
Robert
nice.
Is going to try to be there with us. And, you know, I won't go through the full workshop information, but I will, you know, kind of just, you know, we'll have some meetings together. Most of it is great times for questions and answers and new information that's coming forward and stuff like that. And yeah, and it's just us going out and having a good time together. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And get to know each other a little bit better, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
now, when he calls in, does he know to press 1?
Yes. I told him to call the Blog Talk Radio number to press 1, and that way we would recognize him, and that puts him up at the top of the list when he presses 1, and then I'll recognize his phone number when he calls in, and so it should be any time now. Okay, come on, Robert.
Hopefully he didn't get tied up, because we want to hear some good news. He had an update at the last workshop, didn't he? I think he was he there.
Yes,
he had
some great. He had some great new stuff, and I want him to be able to. I just sent him a text and says, "Hey, we're ready for you."
Who's going to answer? We want to hear the news.
I know. Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah.
So we'll see if, sometimes you share a little bit more in the workshop. So hopefully he can give us some good updates, but maybe the folks at the workshop got a little bit more intel. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, yep, there he is. Okay, let's see. Okay. Robert, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am. I am. Can you hear me?
Okay, well, we're glad to have you here. We're ready to go, and I think the folks are ready, and I think the biggest thing, why don't you take about 10 to 15 minutes and just kind of give us an update, what you're doing, what's been going on, and again, the things that you had shared at the workshop in Santa Ana over the weekend.
Okay, well, sounds great. Well, we've been very busy. We've been making lots of progress. On the technology front, our blockchain and our smart contracts and our full network deployed across the world are very much ready. We're doing a production rollout of the blockchain later this week, hopefully tomorrow or Saturday. Once that's deployed, then we're going to start doing some soft launch and some testing, and so that's what's going on right now. It's very exciting in this production rollout, so we're very, very close to start getting this ready to launch to the public. In that production launch, we've added so much functionality, stuff that we've never even mentioned yet. One of the most exciting components of functionality is what we call the escrow services, which allow, large transactions to transpire without just sending coins and hoping that other persons perform. So we have what's called escrow. It allows, people to use our coins in a professional manner. So the blockchain's looking great. All the functionality at the exchange looks great. We've been testing all the different gateways, adding functionality to them perpetually since we last, every day, 7 days a week. So the gateways are being tested. We're connecting with all the different exchanges and markets and testing these integration points. So that's, the technology is beautiful. The wallet's amazing. It looks great. We have, what we have is we have the integration between our bank and our wallet, which is, it's like, where you can SWIFT or ACH money in and out, and you can then do a crypto transaction on the same application that would load on your iPhone or your Android. We have so much functionality, Dave, so much. There's just amazing amounts of functionality that we have, and we're rolling and we're testing right now. So the soft launch, Dave, I'd like to invite you to be one of the members of that soft launch. You're a great interpreter of all this very technical things, and so we would like to start that with you next week, which is on the technology aspect of Metal One Coin. I then wanted to update everyone on the private banking aspects and how we
first. Let's describe what a soft launch means so people understand what that means.
Oh, yes, exactly. A soft launch is when you start doing what we call unit testing, or testing the functionality of the different modules and integration points of the system in its entirety. As we step through the unit test or the use cases of every module and every interface, we start verifying a production-ready software platform. So that's what we're doing starting next week. And so we're going to start going through all the different functionality to include, transacting or converting Meta to Bitcoin and Bitcoin to Meta, Ethereum to Meta, and Meta to Ethereum, things like that, very simple things. We're going to transfer coins back and forth. We're going to check the various hold functionalities on the coin. We're going to check the escrow functionality. aspects of the coin. You know, just there's a million things we check and test, and so we start testing all the aspects of the platform, and we do it very slowly. We're going to do it with some coin holders. We've been doing it internally, technologically, with our technology teams, our development team members, and our system analysts. So we've been working with them internally, but that's what we do in the soft launch. So as we start going through all the features and functionality of the launch, and we do this in what we call a production environment, meaning it's not like a little staged network somewhere. It's a full network that we have deployed across the world right now. So it's going across our production platform. So as we step through the soft launch, we start getting a very good indication of how ready we are for the public launch. And so that's technically what a soft launch is. And does that make sense, Dave? Do you have any questions or any clarification for that?
Well, I think what you basically said is it's a small group of people that get to be the beta testers, and they test the whole system to make sure that everything is working so that there aren't any apparent bugs, because you just don't want to start out, launch the whole thing for thousands of people, and then find out you still got some bugs to work out. And so that's,
right,
in essence, that's what a soft launch is. It's using a small group of people as beta testers to make sure the whole system is working. And you're saying that that's ready to go next week, and I will get to be one of those people. And I think you said you were going to do two soft launches. You were going to start with a very small group, and then maybe about a week later, you were going to move that into 100 or 200 more people. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, as we progress with the soft launch, making sure that we're making good progress and our systems are production capable, we're going to start extending it to many more people, hundreds of people. Yes, absolutely. But if it's a week or a day or 2 weeks, it depends on how we go through the unit testing and how everything looks, So, but yes, as soon as we get the smaller group through, we're going to start testing with larger people that have already purchased coins that would, want to be part of the soft launch.
Yeah. So,
and one big aspect, Dave, of the launch is that we're using what we call production blockchain, meaning this is real minted coins. This is real money. These are real Ethereum, it's real Meta Bitcoin. So it's real production, blockchain, real coins. So it's not just a test bed, or test net, as they say. So anyway.
Right. Yeah. And so we're still looking at 3 to 4 weeks out before it gets opened up to everybody. Is that a good estimation in time?
I will know as soon as we get through the first, once we get through 5 or 10 people, we'll be real confident on how many we can open up and how fast we can do it. But we're very eager to get it out. We want to get it out. We want to test it. But the several hundred people, yes. As long as they're part of the soft launch, and if they're existing coin holders, such as some of the people on your channel, as long as they are aware that it's a soft launch and they're part of the the go live program, I want the expectations to be set properly with whoever's coming in. But yes, that's the plan, absolutely. And just as we get, we'll go from like 5 or 10 people, then we can go to several hundred. And then once we're good with several hundred, quite honestly, we can start opening it up to thousands. Then just keep making sure we have what's called a quality of service of the environment, the networks are operating properly. And, we just maintain high quality, and everything's working. But so we'll go like 5 to 10, then we'll go hundreds, and then we'll go, several thousand. And then from there, we can open it up to, tens of thousands, So
right.
That's
and,
the.
And it basically,
sorry,
folks, for those of you that are listening to this program, you would be in the thousands group before it went out to the full public, because, the promotion of this program of what, Meta One Coin has basically just been, through my radio programs and workshops. And with the whole team, Robert and the whole team, want to say thank you very much for understanding that, because you are the folks that were able to buy the coins at the $22 rate or the $44 rate. Because once this goes out to public folks, I mean, within a week or two, you're going to see this popping into the hundreds, if not over $1,000 a coin. So in essence, those of us who were a part of this pre-launch, pre-public, we were the beta testers to work out a lot of the stuff, to get it done. But the advantage of that is that we were able to get the coins at a very, very low rate. And so I think Robert, myself, and all the others just want to say thank you very much You know, so yeah. And I just had a message come in on Facebook. It says during the soft launch, what would be each coin value be? It's still going to stay at the $44 rate, right? And then you would be making any announcements if the rate would be going up, and we'll announce that before they do go up.
Yeah, I mean, our goal in the soft launch is just functionality testing, you know, and making sure everything works. We don't want to stress it too hard by, you know, start running it in different directions. But, yeah, it'll stay at 44 in the soft launch just because we're at that point. We're just really wanting the functionality to be, you know, production quality and production deployed across the network. And then once we have, you know, several hundred, a thousand or so people in there, we can start integrating what I'm calling the appreciation module to our marketplace and showing, you know, how to make, you know, how the coin will appreciate, you know, by the smart contracts and by the different trade agreements and investment, you know, commercial investment situations we have with our back office bank system. So that's, you know, we're going to keep it calm at, you know, those rates, but, you know, very soon, once it's looking good, we're going to start running it, you know, with the smart contracts and the appreciation modules and just, you know, the seven smart contracts that are very, very detailed. So that's the goal. Yes, make it work first, deploy it properly, get lots of people in it, and then we're going to start running it hard. You know, we're going to start trading, we're going to start buying, we're going to start selling. We have just a plethora of assets where we have standing by to start assigning. We have amazing updates on the back office finance side that I can allude to here in a minute to really show the coins and show it how it appreciates and how we're going to run it and hold it, you know, for a long-term, you know, long-term asset. So it's a lot of fun, but yes, we're going to keep it stable, make it work, then we're going to run it hard. So,
well, I mean, you know, I'm close enough to you to know that you've just been working your rear end off of this thing, going day and night and getting everything that is set up. And folks, it's really important to know that Robert's not a rookie at this stuff. He's been in the banking industry for over 25 years. He had helped start a bank from scratch, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago. See, he's been around this stuff. He knows what to do, and he had the networking and the contacts. And he's now got these great contracts with different banks around the world. Like I think you said, all the back office operations of MetaOne Bank is going to basically be run out of a bank in China, a very, very large bank that is there. And it's the professionality to make sure, because it's not a simple thing to set all this complete operation up from scratch. It just takes a lot of work, a lot of networking, a lot of interconnectedness with the different parts of the program. And Robert's been absolutely wonderful getting all that done. Now, let me ask a question. I know you were able to share this with the people at the workshop, but if you need to let us know if you are ready to be able to tell who that very, very large company is that where we can buy and sell the coins, or do we still need to keep that under wraps, the name of the company?
Let's keep that under wrap. I wanna finish the presentation on the service offering, you know, collectively with both parties, ourselves and this group. So we're still working on how to present it, but it'll be a major presentation. It'll be a major news release, you know, and it's a core functionality of our entire network, and it's amazing. Yes. But I can't say it yet. I can't say it publicly
okay.
yet. We're still in that process of identifying the market, but it's already integrated with our system, you know, so
right.
It's very exciting.
We were able to say the name of the company at the workshop because, you know, we had a limited number of people there, and we asked them to keep that confidential, basically, you know, within the context of the meeting that was there. But let's just say, you know, for coins to go out, there has to be a marketing aspect. Well, Roberts, you couldn't do any better with what he has done with this company that he has a contract under that is going to basically be able to give MetaOne Coin a ton of marketing all around the world. It's just phenomenal. And when you hear it, you'll realize, wow. That's what response. I said, are you kidding me? Do you really have them under contract? And he said, yes, we do. So, that's why this coin is going to be phenomenal. It's going to go so far because we couldn't ask for a better marketing source than this company we get to work with that basically will be working with MetaOne Coin. So, yeah. Anything else on the banking side that you want to share with us?
Well, just, you know, I spoke about some things last weekend, but what's really exciting is that our back office financial services that are supporting Meta Investment Bank, you know, we have institutional investment licenses and connectivity now with our platform. And so what that has done is just so profound. I'm still realizing the magnitude of scale that we've elevated ourselves to. But just, okay, so our previous models of appreciation and things of that nature were between 6% and 8% on just the asset alone. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, that's not the additional asset assignment, but just the asset itself, the art market was 6% to 8%. What we are doing now with our commercial investment licenses and connectivity is we're easily in the 30 percentile of annual percentage of appreciation without anything, you know, complex. Let's just say very simple aspects. We're also 30% versus 68% in appreciation. To the coin, just based on pure simplicity of our commercial investment platform. So that's one thing that's very exciting. And then we're also doing, in addition to that, so the upgrade to the model, and I don't know if everyone's heard this yet, but it's in the new version of the white paper. But what we're doing, in addition to assigning assets, let's say a gold instrument, above ground, in ground gold asset, fine art, however it is, to the blockchain. In addition to the assignment, right, just meaning like one coin is equal to so much gold, you know, just to make sure that there's something backing the coin at an asset level. In addition to that, we have these assets in a high interest bearing transaction that is greater than 30%. In addition, you know, does that, so we're, Our gold bonds basically are now being used in a trading facility, so we have greater appreciation than ever stated previously, and that's based on contracts we are in contract with, and we have funded, and they are in performance. So it's very profound. So imagine, Dave, a $1 billion asset assigned to the coin, and then another $1 billion asset assigned to the coin. So we have $2 billion assets. So in addition to them being assigned to the coin and just sitting there, they're now in the market in a high interest trading platform that has no risk. There's no loss risk. And so it's accumulating equity, or in addition to just being assigned to the coin. And so that additional revenue from the market and this high yield investment that we're in is going to the appreciation module, or the appreciation smart contract, and it's continually going to be running the coin values up at very high rates. And so,
reiterate
amazing.
That and kind of just explain a little bit. And then you tell me if I'm off base.
Okay.
That we always remember, there's the market value of the coin and then the asset value of the coin. Now, market value can be driven up by supply and demand, just like when Bitcoin came out. For a while, it stayed low, and then all of a sudden it went from, you know, $3,000 to almost $18,000 to $20,000 in a very short period of time. That's a market driven. Well, with Meta One, market value can drive the coin up very rapidly, but the asset value will always continue to climb itself. And in the contracts that Robert has with Meta One Coin, is the coin will never be sold for less than the asset value. Now, what happens in market values, it shoots up, it goes up, and then it settles and it stays there, and just kind of stays there for a period of time. But here's what he is basically saying, is the asset value of the coin will be going up at least 30% per year. So if you buy the coin at around an asset value, you know you're going to get minimally a 30% return on your coin each and every year. Tell me where you can get that out there in the market. Where can you invest your money in stock exchanges or whatever and get almost a guaranteed 30% per year return, and that's a low number. That's a conservative number. There's a potential for more of that. So it's important to understand there is a difference between the asset value and the market value. Market value is driven up by supply and demand, and then asset value goes up based on the assets that are there. But at a point in time, and it's this way with all the coins and all the stocks out there in the stock market, they get to a point where they cap their market value. And then, but asset value will continue to grow is what it will do. And maybe 3-5 years down the road, you will find that the asset value will continue driving the market value up as well. Now, so Robert, is that a good explanation for people to understand the difference between the two and what that meant?
Yeah, that's a great explanation of asset versus market value. But so just what we've done to the asset value, in addition to that explanation, it's going to be moving at a very fast rate, and 30% is a very very understated statement, which I know a lot of people think is high, and it is. It's ridiculously high. So anyway, we have the functionality and the assets. So what, Dave, your explanation of market versus asset. So if the market runs the coin up higher than the asset value, we have so many assets that are standing by, ready to be assigned, so that we'll backfill the market, the asset value with the market. So if the market runs, if the coin's at $44 right now, and that's based on an asset assignment, if the market runs a coin to, let's say, $100 a coin, right, we can quickly drop the assets in to bring the asset value up to 100 as well, right? So then by our smart contracts, the coin cannot go lower than $100. So we kind of, it's kind of like a ratchet, you know, where you keep ratcheting the asset value to track the market value so that everyone will be solid. It will not be able to go down. And just we have very, very, very fluid assets. The assets aren't just assigned anymore. They're now in the market making additional revenue that then goes into the appreciation module or appreciation smart contract on the blockchain, distributing that appreciation to every coin on the blockchain. And it's just gotten, you know, the numbers I was giving just based on what we have is several hundred times greater than it ever has been before. And in the facilities that we're running now, it's very much more scalable. It's very institutional grade, scalability. So it's just, so it got easier basically. Just in, if you were to wrap this whole thing up, it got a lot easier. It's several hundred times greater in appreciation. And it's just a lot of fun to watch. And so it's the most exciting aspects and actually the most difficult and challenging aspects were to get the banking facilities to connect and to have the right facilities and services for cryptocurrencies, which I know in like 10 years, everyone's going to laugh that cryptocurrencies were treated with such prejudice in the marketplace. But right now we're treated horribly. And just to get, you know, to the right jurisdiction and to then connect our assets, our Meta One coins, and to be able to to go to high yield investments and perpetuate appreciation through the blockchain at such institutional levels is just extremely exciting. And so anyway, that's the back end investment banking side that we have in place, and the contracts are signed. It's very exciting. So it's just so many times greater now than it ever was, and so. Anyway, that's what we've been doing on the investment side and the banking side. And then, lastly, we'll be able to extend these services through our Meta Investment Bank to any depositor as well. So
okay.
It's very exciting.
Great. Anything else then to kind of wrap up for us tonight?
No, that's it. That's it. Any questions you have, I can answer them. And if not tonight, just a later time. But, yeah, everything's going very well.
Well, we won't take the we won't have time to go into all the Q&A tonight. I just wanted to let you give an update that it's here because I got the rest of the program I want to get through for tonight. But just wanted to let you just share some of the stuff that's going on. I think the biggest news is, you know, the soft launch starts next week. Yeah, and that means it's really starting to get ready to go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Thank you everyone for being a part of Meta One Coin. Thank you, everyone. So have a great
Thanks,
evening.
Robert. Okay, you bet. Have a great evening.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We have to have Robert on. We have to have him on again. I've got like a list of questions.
Oh, I know. Well, we'll be able to deal with that later. But, you know, some of the people are wondering, like there's this one lady here that sent me, you know, says that, you know, for those of us who already have the MetaOne coins, when will they be able to open their wallet for the soft launch? You only get to be a part of the soft launch if you're invited to be into it. And remember, the first group is only going to be about 10 to 15 people. And there's thousands of people who have already purchased coins. And I have absolutely no process in the decision-making who gets to come into the second part of the soft launch when they do that with basically, you know, hundreds of people. So don't plan on it. That's their team's decision. It's not my decision. And don't ask me to refer you because I can't go there, folks. Okay. I just know that I get to be in the very first part of it because then I get to explain to people, you know, on the program here, what's going on and what's taking place, because I'm kind of a spokesperson that gets to do that stuff. So I get that's it comes with my territory. Let's put it that way. Okay, Blanca.
Well, the main thing about from my understanding is that the main thing about the soft launch, it's testing the system. It's really not about us actually. It's testing the system. In fact, people on the soft launch are going to be more like checkers or guinea pigs, or just to make sure that that everything's functioning the way it needs to and interfacing the way it needs to. So I think that's the main intention of the soft launch.
Yeah. I mean, like even me getting to be the very first part of it, well, that requires me to do a whole lot of buying and selling of the different coins and moving stuff back and forth. And so, and you know, they're going to help me out in it. And I'm moving money in and out of the bank and in and out of the coins and moving money, you know, from Bitcoins into MetaOne and back and forth and all that kind of stuff, so that I'm testing the whole system. And that's what's required for those of us in the early part of the soft launch. So, yeah. Okay. Anything else, then, you want to share with us before we go on with the rest of the program tonight?
No, I think maybe we should move on to the next show.
Yes, because, you know, the next part of the program, I think it runs about 40 minutes, something like that. But, folks, last week I started what was called part one of the workshop content, and this here will be part two. And so, yes, you get a little bit of the, you know, the jingle introduction when we do that, but let's go ahead and get started here now in part two of the workshop content. What I wanted to go into what is the normal part of the introduction of the program. Now, this goes on for about maybe 20 to 25 minutes. It talks about the company and change that we're going to go through. So let's get started on today's intriguing program. Now, we live in a universe of two worlds, the conventional world and the shadow world, or the private world that is the alpha. And these two worlds exist in all the areas that influence our lives. The conventional versus the shadow world exists in the institutions of government, finance, media, politics, education, legal court systems, religious institutions, and others. We have what's presented to us out in the public and in the open in the conventional. And then there's what goes on behind the scenes in the shadow world that these elite controllers don't want you to know about. But also the shadow world has both sides to it as well. And this conventional versus shadow world is what is called a duality system. It's part of what is called duality consciousness. It's a thought system or a process that pervades our complete universe and creates this white hat versus black hat systems that take place in our world. The good versus the bad, the white hats versus the black hats, you know, the holy versus the evil, or however you want to call it. That's what's called duality consciousness, and it pervades our whole complete universe. And if you want to truly understand the basis and the root of our universe, it will be discovered in understanding what is called the duality or separation consciousness process. Now, as I use these terms, duality and separation consciousness, they're pretty much similar and parallel to each other. They operate on the same basis as what they do. And I'll get into a lot of that more later in the day. But once you understand it, the separation consciousness or duality consciousness process, and that it creates most of the problems in our world, all of a sudden life and issues begin to make much more sense once it's understood. It puts a context into why our world is the way that it is, why we have so many problems, why we have these elites that create this massive power and control over the others. It's all part of what's called the separation consciousness process. Now, most of the information that I'm going to give you here in this workshop comes from the shadow world. I don't need to give you the conventional world stuff. It's out there for you to already know. And that shadow world is the secret world of the cabal and their counterparts referred to as the white hat, the benevolent one, because they both operate in the shadow world. But most of today's information can be found on the internet by doing your own research. I'm not really saying anything that hasn't already been talked about by other people, but what I am doing is putting the big picture together and how all of this develops. Though some of it may seem mystical or ethereal, the vast majority of it is from tangible sources. So let's get started now into this introductory process. So why are we here? What is it that's going on here? Well, it's not this whole money scenario. It's the initial attraction. It's not about just a few of us becoming rich. It's about us having the opportunity and the responsibility of leading our world into financial freedom. It's about being in alignment and in touch with the major shift and change that's happening to our Earth and the universe. And this is not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but a once-in-an-age opportunity spanning a millennia of time. This is about educating ourselves to become world changers, with money being one of its primary tools. And this is about learning how we acquired this financial slavery, the sources of our freedom, and how we can bring about true change in our world. Right now, we are in the midst of a major galactic shift of cosmic energy that is impacting everything and everybody on this planet. Why will this financial shift transpire? It's time. It's time for a shift in world history, world affairs, and world conditions. When you look through history, humanity, the human race, always goes through what are called ages or eras. The large cycle is approximately 26,000 years, and then that gets broken down into halves and quarters and eighths. And you see these shifts and changes taking place. We just finished the 26,000-year cycle, and we're moving into a new one. And that is what is really taking place. And with that comes a huge shift and change in the energy that predominates everything in this world that we live in. And this energetic shift is not so much on the outside world events, but it's on the inside. It's an inner intuitive shift that is taking place within us. So humanity is going through a change in an era and an age, and this shift transpires over decades in various stages. How I understand it, there's predominantly five major stages that we will go through this shift. The first one we're already deeply into. And the second one is the release of all these funds, financial freedom. Now, these shifts in ages, for the most part, are going to take probably a couple hundred years to move into. But there are some of us that will be on the forefront of that process. And that's part of what I'm doing here, sharing this information with you and doing that. So the first stage was the availability of information. And that came through the gift of the internet. The internet changed our world, changed our lives. Prior to the internet, we were dependent upon the perceptions that we had, the images that we had, the beliefs that we had. It was all based on the information that was being funneled to us. If you could control that information, you could control the world's perception, you could control the world's belief systems. And those information sources predominantly came from the areas of education, media and entertainment, and the news media industry. Those were the three dominant areas that could change, that basically gave us the information. When the internet came around, we could now start sharing what we perceived as the truth with each other. We could learn from each other, and we could bypass these cabal controllers controlling those three areas. We could bypass the dominance of a cabal-controlled education system. We could bypass the dominance of a cabal-controlled media and entertainment industry. We could bypass the dominance of a cabal-controlled media news industry. And we learn this from ourselves. My being here, sharing this with you on the internet, is the classic example. This information has always been there, but it's always been just a very limited few who understood it. And when they would write their books or share their information, they were classified as conspiracy theories. Design is being created. Some of them were killed. Some of them were shipped away into mental institutions. But for the most part, they were greatly what I call, they were classified as being crazy and stupid for having all this information. But underneath it, they and a small group always knew the truth, but we can never spread it rapidly. We're now beginning to understand this from here. Now, I'm going to briefly talk about these five stages, and I'm not going to go into detail on them. That information will come later. But the first stage was the availability of information. And we have reached what I call the apex of the information age. And we're now at that apex that's there. And we're starting to move into a new age, what I call the intuitive age. But the first one was the availability of information. We now have, with simply as a cell phone, smartphone, access to the world. If you've got an internet connection, you can get access to the whole complete world with something as simple as a cell phone. For thousands of years, we've been in financial slavery. And it's predominantly always been the kings, the monarchs, the dictators that kept us that way. Even today, with the advancements that we've had in the last 150 to 180 years, we still live in a world where almost, or I should say, just a little over half of the world's population, roughly 4 billion people, still live on just 10 million a day. That's called survival. You don't have any time for anything. The vast majority of the rest of us have nice jobs, live in a nice world, we have a comfortable environment we can live in, but we're still slaves to our jobs. Because what happens is, to basically survive and make a living, you have to have an income. You get up in the morning, 2 to 3 hours before you head off to work, you're doing your stuff, getting ready for the day, everything you have to do, you go off, you spend your time at work, you have lunch time, you spend your afternoon at work, you commute, come home, if you have a family, you're bringing the family in, you're organizing stuff for the family, you're preparing your meal, you're having your evening dinner. And then if you have kids to take care of, you've got them, if you're a young kid, you get them off to bed. And then here you are at the end of the day, you basically have about 2 to 3 hours for yourself. And that's all that you have in a full day. Weekends roll around, and it's basically maintenance time. That's what it is. That's a form of financial slavery because it controls the amount of time that you have to live the way you want, learn what you want, when you want, and how you want. Less than 1% of the world's population live in a place where they have absolute financial freedom to do what they want, when they want, to go where they want, when they want, and to learn what they want, when they want. When you're in that place, to me, that's true financial freedom. And that's what the funds being released is about, to allow hundreds of thousands of people to move into this new sense of financial freedom so they have the time and the energy to do the work to keep us going into our next stage. That third stage now is what I call the understanding of our holonomic quantum world. The date that I'm doing this video today here is September 19th. And you can go back to my YouTube page and you can listen to or watch my last three live streaming sessions that are roughly an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes long each. And I talk about this new upcoming shift and change that we're going through and this new holonomic quantum world that we're moving into. The holonomic quantum world allows us to move into a world that the only limitation is the development of our consciousness and how we think through this process. That's another story. I'll get into that later in this very clear. The fourth stage is moving into what's becoming full, complete, whole, and unlimited people. We live in this unlimited world. The sources of those information, predominantly A.R. Gordon, Dr. Neruda, Wingmaker's material, and Course in Miracles and books by Gary Bernard, they basically talk about that we get to start moving into a world that we live beyond what is called the physical limitation of our thoughts. We get to do, in essence, I'm going to talk about later this predominant scientist, that was a brilliant white man by the name of A.R. Gordon. And he had made a comment to a friend of mine. He had said, everything that you saw on star 30 years ago, we do not know. We can do the real being in God and teleport our bodies because we understand what the physics is behind it and how that we live in a world that is really just a holographic illusion. And what we think is solid and physical is not really solid and physical. It's just a projection of our thoughts along with our five physical senses that gives us that sense of perception. And because we believe it so deeply, then we limit ourselves to that. And he says, we are the scientists that learned how to change how we think, change our consciousness process, understand the physics of this universe, and then begin to integrate that into our lives. Yes, they could teleport their body anywhere they wanted to because they knew that the body was physical. They could time travel because they understood what Einstein said close to 100 years ago, that there is no such thing as time. Time is just an illusion. They were the best remote viewers in the world. And they also had the ability to use the power of human consciousness to tap into what was called, you know, the etheric world out there and basically make anything appear out of thin air. They could do all of that. That is what is called becoming the holonomic people. We holonomic by in the essence of the word of being whole. We are living in a sense of wholeness. We're not living in a world of limited consciousness, limited capacity. And then that fifth stage is when we really truly move into being what's called truly enlightened, or moving into our full, complete right body condition. And if you want to get an example of that, it was what happened in the life of Jesus was like after his crucifixion. Okay, excuse me, I dropped something. A little PowerPoint item here to change the slide. Those are the five stages, and I don't have time to go into all of that now, but it gives you a foundation of where we are. So, if we're going through this change, what's creating this change? Well, it's all about the energy of life. See, Albert Einstein said that everything is energy and that all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that anything but that reality. It is no other way. It's not philosophy. It's not a bunch of woo-woo thinking. It's just plain, pure physics. It's the whole universe of energy. Nikola Tesla said, if you wish to understand the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And so what's happening as we're going through this shift, the energy frequency of the planet is shifting, and so is everything that is on it. Everything that transpires in this world first starts as energy. It first appears in the etheric, unseen, energetic world before we see and experience it into the physical world. If there was a climactic point of the shift, what most people say, yes, it was, that December 21st, 2012 date, that was the climactic date of the shift. Now the shift changes and transpires over a number of years, but there was what I call that fulcrum point. And this date wasn't just a fable or a prophecy, but it was an actual date that our galaxy completed this 26,000 year cycle and moved into a new age and a new era. Now the 26,000 years of the realm, I think it's something like 25,920, something like that. But what happened on that date is that the Earth and the Sun lined up in a straight line with the center of the galaxy, a 26,000 year cycle to start a new trip around the galaxy, a new age and a new era. Those of us that understand the basic foundation of astrology, we understand that these planets give off energy. They're energy producing planets. And when these different levels of frequency and energy, the alignment that they have, you know, are they lined up, you know, conjunct or whatever the terms that they use in astrology. They give off energy and they create, I don't want to say create, they have an impact in our thinking process is what they do. Because when the energy comes in, it impacts how we think. Well, what happened on that day is all the planets in the galaxy lined up in a straight line. And it's similar to, okay, time to reboot and start over again, like rebooting your computer. You reboot the computer, everything boots up, and you start a new cycle again. That's what you did. And that's what was happening on that day. And we went through that shift. Now, also what's happening is our planet has moved into a new position in the solar system. It's entered what is called the photon band, a place that's emitting a higher frequency of light energy photons onto us, onto the Earth, onto our planet, and creating a higher vibration and creating a higher sense of consciousness. This photon band emitting a higher frequency of light energy is keeping up and waking up. Light does that. It wakes you up from a slumber or a darkness. Here is an example of what happens, you know, with the photon band. What you see is our Earth in our solar system, and it moves into that photon band. And it does this for a short period of time in this 26,000-year cycle. Well, the Earth is now fully within this photon band for the next 2,000 years. And this is the time of the shift and change for the human race. This photon band is a higher quotient light energy, an electromagnetic wave of radiation light. And this photon band of light energy also accelerates the shift and change of the DNA that is within us, creating an opportunity to have a deeper sense of awareness and consciousness. In essence, it assists us in being able to wake up. This change in energy also creates a higher sense of heart coherence or heart consciousness. It activates an energetic portion of the heart, and I'll talk about that later in the video. The electromagnetic energy field, to my own point, is measured as the Schumann resonance. For decades, the Schumann resonance was measured at 7.3 hertz. In about the last 4 to 5 years, it has these periodic moments where it doubles with its frequency shifts up to around 16.8%. And in the past, it's also a couple of years, it's also had a couple of momentary spikes up to 32. And then something happened on Easter Sunday of 2017. And you can see this here on this chart. It had a temporary spike to 92 hertz. And it's the first time it's ever been that high that what we are aware of. Well, what happened? Why was it so unique about Easter Sunday? Well, when you think through what is taking place on that day, what we're really seeing is a very high positive focus on the subject of hope. Now, regardless of how you may view it in your religious aspects, it's about the concept of new birth, new life, resurrection, letting go of the old and being able to move on with the new. And it's all about a very high, powerful, loving hope. What it is. And this is taking place all around the world. The one day that, to me, that is the one most strongest day of the year that has it. Because Easter is even stronger than Christmas, because Christmas gets mixed messages. It's interesting when you look at when people talk about what is the second strongest day. And it's one that we really don't think about until you realize what is the content of its subject is. That's Valentine's Day. And what are we doing? We're talking about love. We're talking about loving and caring the people that are close to us, predominantly our basically our partners and our spouses and our family and our lovers. We're thinking about love and we're focusing on that day. And that's a very powerful message. And that's the consciousness energy that we put out that affects the human resonance. Because the energy of the human resonance that impacts our minds, our thoughts, and our emotions. But when we as a collective come together, we have the ability to shift it. This photon energy increases the energy vibration of everything on the earth. This energy is not seen by the physical eye, but it can be felt as an intuitive sensation. It's primarily a spiritual experience. And we're in the process of this intuitive evolution at the quantum level. We're moving from an information age into an intuitive age. As a human race, we're being given an opportunity to expand with it, to expand our consciousness, and we're being given a chance to wake up. And this energy, being a higher consciousness light, brings all of our old stuff to the surface to clear and heal. Light will do that. It exposes all the dark stuff in our lives. And we either adjust with it, or we'll find ourselves out of balance with the universe, experiencing a great deal of disjunct and disruptive experience. Adjust or experience yourself feeling out of place in this world. I've been around politics for a long time. And you understand, I was an elected official for 12 years. I was involved in it for 6 years prior to that. I've worked on campaigns even after I was done being an elected official. I've been around this stuff for about 25 and 30 years. I've never seen it as crazy as it is right now. I've never seen so much what I would call disjunctiveness, the fighting, the arguing over petty issues, wanting to be in resistance, the reflection of hate to the other side. And folks, it doesn't make any difference if it's Republican or Democrat. It doesn't make any difference if it's, you know, conservative or liberal. It's just a cycle. Right now, we have Donald Trump. Well, you can go back to just a few years ago when Obama was there. You can see the same thing from the other side. There's the increase of this disjunctive energy that is taking place, and people aren't adjusting with it. And that affects, because that energy affects how they think and how they feel, they're out of balance. Because as the energy is increasing, picking up a sense of consciousness and awareness, they're not increasing with it. Those that are moving into it are staying in a higher sense of awareness and consciousness that is moving with it. Now, this inability to shift and change is sometimes called self-existence. This is really important to understand because it begins to make sense of why certain people don't adjust very well. Now, cognitive dissonance, this is why people get upset when their belief systems are challenged. And sometimes people hold a core belief that is very strong, and when they're presented with evidence that works against their belief, this new evidence can't be accepted. It is extremely uncomfortable, called cognitive dissonance, and because it is so important to protect the core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and even deny anything that doesn't fit into the core belief. It's a challenge to the core belief system, is what it is. And that challenge is pretty strong and very painful if they want to accept what is new. So in essence, they just say, okay, let it go. One of the best examples of corporate or a large case of cognitive dissonance is 9/11. We still live in a country in the United States that about half the people still want to believe the official report that it was 19 Arabs with box cutter knives that threw these planes into these towers and basically collapsed those two buildings. For a number of years, I felt that way. And part of that was because, remember, I had spent 25 years of my life in the Army National Guard. I was serving in the military reserve. And I remember that day, seeing that happen, and being kind of have a sense of patriotic duty, that it upset me so much, I wanted to put my military uniform on and go kill those bastards. That's how I felt that day. And even for a couple months after, it impacted me so strongly. So I was buying into the official story, and my own cognitive dissonance wasn't letting me see the reality of what really took place that day, and how the official government description was totally impossible with the law of physics. Here's what we know. An airplane flying into about the 85th story of a 105-story building that is built with extremely strong beams of concrete and steel all the way up. And they said it was the fire that created the collapse of the building, the fire from the airplane fuel. Airplane fuel is basically kerosene, folks. It doesn't burn hot enough to turn 85 stories of concrete and steel into dust where it falls at the rate of gravity. That is totally physically impossible. Folks, the laws of physics didn't take indication of 9/11. And the official government description is asking us to believe it. But cognitive dissonance doesn't want us to accept the truth, because we don't want to accept that it was basically our own people with government influence that collapsed those towers and killed about 3,000 people in that day. Because at the end of the day, it's all about power and control. Now, the more that we find ourselves waking up and working, coming out of our cognitive dissonance, to the shift and change, moving past the cognitive dissonance, the more we feel out of resonance with the majority of the Earth's population, we begin to find that it's hard to talk about this with the masses because they think that we're crazy. But we're beginning to, because of the power again of the internet, we're finding the thousands and thousands of people that understand it and believe it, and we can be comfortable talking about it. So we find ourselves out of resonance with the masses, but totally in balance with this new energetic shift, and we experience what's called the black sheep syndrome. Well, how many of you have been there? Yes, I know. I've been the black sheep of my family. And I was the black sheep in my times and when I won politics. And back in my mind, I'm saying, this stuff doesn't fit. But even when I was in politics, I felt I couldn't openly publicly talk about it without being ridiculed. But we begin to, when you move into a new sense of awareness, a new sense of truth, you experience that black sheep syndrome. Now, I love this little quote from Dr. Steve. This is absolutely great. He says, we're all a little weird, and life's a little weird. And when we find someone whose weirdness is compatible with ours, we join up with them and fall into mutual weirdness and we call it love. Dr. Steve, he was always great. And Einstein said, the more wisdom you attain and the more conscious you become, the crazier that you will appear. We can relate to that about what's going on because there's a lot of people think that we're pretty crazy about thinking that we're going to get all this money. But you have to step out of your cognitive dissonance to be able to understand that this is there, it is out there. And with the 4 trips I've made to Hong Kong, that money is out there. It's real. The money is real. The question is when and how are they going to be able to move it and give it. Now, this new age and this new era astrologically is the age of Aquarius. And in the Bible, it's referred to as the Millennial Kingdom in the book of Revelation. And ironically, this age is also called the Golden Age, the age when the gold held in trusteeship by the appointed royal groups is to be released to the human race. And that's why we're here, to experience the shift. The gold of the ages is in the process of being released to shift our world. Quadrillions of dollars of gold on this planet, held in trusteeship for millennia, is now being released to free humanity. It's released to us as we move into energetic alignment with its purpose. And that last statement, energetic alignment with its purpose. I'll get into more of that later in this video. So this whole RBGCR is just the first of many steps in the release of this goal. And we are the people we've been waiting for. We're the ones to fulfill this change for the human race. Now, this goal is reflected in the various forms of money that we use on this planet. And how important is money in this world, and what role does it play in our lives? Well, we're talking about physical items. Other than the air we breathe, can you think of anything in our lives that does not cost money in one way or another? I can't. I've been sharing this in close to 40 workshops, and I haven't asked anybody that has come up with anything. Now, I'm talking about physical items. Some people are saying, what about sunshine? You know, what about love? Well, yeah, I understand that. We're talking about real physical issues. Because you see, even the water that we drink, that is life necessary in one way or another, costs us money for the vast majority of us on this planet. So I can't find of anything. And that's how much money dominates every aspect of our life. There's a great quote that comes out of the book, Money and the Law of Attraction. It says, you are right when you think money isn't everything. You certainly do not need money to have joy in your experience. But in your society, where so much of what you live is tied to money in some way, most of you associate money with freedom. And since freedom is the basic tenet of your being, then coming into alignment with money will help you establish a balanced footing that will be of value to you in all other aspects of your experience. It's about being in harmony and being in alignment with money, which is just another form of energy. And when you do that, the money begins to flow for you, and you begin to experience a healthy appropriation of its use. Now, the key in that previous statement is being in alignment with money, being at peace in your relationship with money. Now, there's an intense battle and conflict going on over the release of this money. Now, in the next session, I'll talk about who controls this world's money supply and how they are the dominant elite power cabal controllers. And the release of these funds coming from these dragon families, that basically runs in opposition to their power and control. So that's why there is this very intense conflict that's going on. And that conflict goes on in the shadow room. It's not talked about publicly. And even in all these Narguru blog sites, there is behind it a conflict of misinformation that is posted on there as well. So if you're not at peace with this process and the release of these funds, then there's a high probability this conflict will extend into your personal life and a lack of personal peace and freedom. You see, our human history has been an experience of the masses living under the oppression of a few. And while the elite have been the ones with the massive wealth, their personal lives have displayed much conflict and agitation, and they have been the ones responsible for most of the wars, conflicts, and oppression that have been placed upon humanity. And we have the ability and the responsibility to be the catalyst and the bringer of this change to humanity. We can be the trailblazers to a shift in world history. As I said, the shift is about the change of the ages. It's about the shift in history. It's about the freeing of humanity. And this is about finding our freedom from millennia of oppression and financial slavery. Now, the old powers that be have operated in the darkness that we refer to as evil and control and keep the human race in slavery. And new historical research is showing how it has been their plan for millennia, thousands of years, to keep the human race in a form of slavery to serve their purpose. But this is changing as well. You see, this energy is bringing light to their darkness, and they're losing their power and control. And this change is happening right now all around us. So when will we see an outward shift? Well, it's really up to us collectively, the masses. We are the ones who can create the shift in the energy to create this new world. And the shift and change will come when we, the human race, as a collective, increase our consciousness to a higher sense of peace and to a higher sense of knowing. And this shift will not come from outward sources, but will come from within. And when we have collectively raised the energy vibration of our planet and ourselves, the resources waiting for us in the etheric world will shift and change. So the goal of this workshop is to help educate and facilitate us in doing our job to quicken this process. It's about discovering the need and the means for all of us to wake up. So are you ready for a wonderful time of information and change? Because see, light is information, and knowledge and truth is what sets us free, and that's what I'm bringing forward here. As I said, we're moving from the information age into the intuitive age. And this shift is a matter of learning how to go within, learning how to understand that most of our physical world is an illusion. And the unseen intuitive world is what is real, and that's where the real changes take place. And this intuitive age is also known as an experiential age, an age when we fully become acquainted with our feelings and our emotions, and they are the language of our soul. So, let's take the rest of this journey into a new understanding together. Well, folks, that was part two of the workshop, and I hope there's a lot of good stuff there. You know, somebody had sent me a text message and said, can you bring pictures on to, you know, when you're there, when you had on some, it'd be nice to see some of the pictures. I'm going to work on that for the rest of the session because I can do the editing of that before I bring it on here. And so I'll start working on that because I know for some that would be really helpful to be able to see the pictures that I'm doing. And when I'm talking there, basically, again, I'm coming from my PowerPoint presentation. So when I'm delivering those messages that are there, I mean, when I'm, you know, basically giving those portions of the workshop, that's why you don't see me looking right into the camera because I'm actually reading from my PowerPoint presentation. So. With that, Blanca, is there anything else that you would like to share with us tonight about what was discussed there?
Well, I think that folks can now get an idea that you do set this discussion, and you're going to discuss a lot of topics, but this discussion about the currency exchange in a very big framework. And basically, if we whittle it down, you're basically saying that there is a movement, an evolution of consciousness. Of course, you started talking about separation consciousness and versus a unity consciousness, but is that kind of correct way to boil it down, at least this section?
Yes. it's back to, you know, what I said on those five stages that we're going through in our shift and change as humanity and our consciousness waking up, and this would take place over maybe 100 to 200 years. You know, and the very first stage was basically the freedom of information, and the internet has been that gift to us. Nothing has changed our lives more than the gift of the internet, from freeing ourselves from dominant controlled information from cabal-based sources that went on for centuries in our lives. Well, the second step is becoming financially free, where we have lived in thousands of years of this financial slavery to these cabal controllers. And that's what this money being released is really all about. It's not about you and me getting rich. It's not about you and I gaining stuff. It's about giving us resources so we are independently wealthy and so that we have the freedom of time to do our work, to learn what is necessary, to create the mental energetic shift to help shift and change our world. That's the real purpose of the money. Now, are we going to, you know, dominate and control that and watch everything that you do? No. But there's enough people that will get this that they'll really begin to see that down inside, it's that deep shift of healthy, love-based consciousness that really shifts and changes our lives and changes our world. And that's the real bigger purpose of the money coming forward.
That's very good. We kind of come loop back to the beginning when we were talking about the currency exchange. And so if indeed this currency exchange is part of a bigger process, a shift in consciousness, as you're saying, then we need to sit back and say, are we ready for this shift in consciousness? Have we really done the work that we need to do to work on these issues? And you've talked about them in your show before, and we'll probably talk about them more in the latter parts of the workshop, but I think it links back to what you were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah, so, well, unless you have a lot more to share with us, I think I'm ready to wrap up the program tonight, because so far it's been about an hour and 20-minute program, and I think I might edit some of this down before I put it out on the YouTube video, because I like to keep them a little bit shorter than that, but, you know, I mean, just the recording part of the program tonight was about 37, 38 minutes, so. Yeah, and then we had Robert on for about 20 minutes, so I might separate those before I send them out. But anything else you'd like to share with us, Deb, before we wrap up?
No,
tonight?
I think it's good. I think we're good. It was a informative show, and it was nice having Robert on, and so I think we had a nice show.
Yeah. Okay, folks, thank you very much again. This is the program on August 14th, and I'm not certain what we're going to bring next week. We'll face that when we get there. It might be part three. Might be to have some other information to change, but hopefully we will see you next week again on the Sedona Connection. Thank you.